Wow, well, that is a lot to cover, Gabe. Good job. Yeah, that video is sure is moving, isn't it? The Memorial Day move. I mean, thanks to anyone's family who's got a loved one or a relative that has paid the ultimate price so that we can be enjoying the freedoms we have. It's not about ball games and barbecues this weekend. It's to take a little time and remember. So try to do that this weekend. Take some time to remember. Is my title up there? Let's see, yeah. Seeing Jesus. Because that's the end game, right? We want to see Jesus. We want to see him daily. We want to see him ultimately face to face one day. But we want to meet him, right? Every day we look for opportunities to see Jesus. That's what's important. That's what should be important in our lives. That should what should be the penultimate, the tip, the point, what we get up in the mornings to do. Whether it's going to work, we want to see Jesus at work. We want to see Jesus wherever we're at. So if you'll turn to your Bibles, I'm going to read out of Luke. Can I get a bottle of water or something? I forgot to. Luke 18:35. It's the story. It's the account of the blind beggar that Jesus heals. So I'm going to read that. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those that led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Thank you very much. Two of them. I love that story. I love that account. Now, we're not all blind, so how can we take this and apply it to our lives today? What's in there today to apply for us when we read our Bibles? What's in there? We're not all blind, right? Right? We're not all blind. I mean, so I always like to look at the word and look to it and apply it with a spiritual significance, not just in the natural. Certainly, it is incredible that Jesus heals, right? I mean, we've all been touched in some way or another that Jesus heals. But I want to take this and I want to dig a little deeper and I want to challenge people and I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm just going to press today, okay? Are we okay with that? All right. So right away, oh, let me pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the freedoms that are provided in this country that we can honor you and worship you in a place like this today. God, I pray that the words that I speak would be your words. There's nothing good in me. There's nothing special about me. God, I just want you to come speak through me. God, I pray that people's hearts, every one of us, would receive something new today in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, because this, say, when you get a chance to preach on something and you read a verse 40, 50, 60 times, it's always something new. It's always something interesting. It's always just a focus and constantly be thinking about that. So I wanted to share a lot of what I saw, what I have seen. And I thought Ray's message about the provision is and the testing. It's like I'm going to speak about the same thing. I'm not going to say it's testing. I'm going to say it's challenges or obstacles. that the blind man overcomes to get the blessing of Jesus. The same as Ray spoke about. There's testing. There's always challenges. But going through that, there's blessing. And it isn't just immediate, but it lasts. It's fruit that lasts. So if you look at Luke 18, it starts off, he says, the man was blind and poor. So he had no self-ability to earn his income. He couldn't hold a job to make any income to provide for him. I don't know about his family or just if it was, he was the only one. But he was in a situation where it was like a catch-22. You can't work, so you can't eat, and you can't see, so you can't work. And it was just this snowball of tough circumstances. And there was nothing about it. He was in a helpless situation. And I just see that as that apart from Jesus, we're in a hopeless situation, spiritually speaking. If you haven't given your life to Christ, you are in a hopeless situation, whether you know or not. And I want to show you that there is a way out of that hopeless situation. So what does it say? I'm going to go back and I'm going to read that too. It says, when he heard the crowd going by. So he doesn't have sight, but he used what he had. He used his ears. He didn't sit down sideways and go, oh, I can't see Jesus. I don't know what's going on. He was inquisitive. He asked. He was like, I'm going to use what I got, not focus on what I don't have, not focus on my lack. I'm going to focus on what has been provided for me. And sometimes we can get so sidetracked, the devil, the culture, our flesh will get so sidetracked on, oh, I don't have this, or I don't have that, or I'm not Pastor Steve and see, you know, I don't spend time in the Word every single day or lack physically. I don't have attributes, finances, all of that. And we can get focused on that. When in 2 Peter, verse 3, it says that you have been given everything for godliness. Amen? I'm going to read that. I'm going to try to read that. Here we go. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So we've been given these things. We need to use. We can't get caught up in the lack. Amen? So try to just remember that. And so we can sometimes get distracted, but he overcomes that. We are more than overcomers. It also shows that he paid attention. I imagine there were other people going by. He was on a pretty busy road to Jericho. He needed money, so I'm imagining he's going to put himself in a place where he's going to get the most income, right? The most, you get more people going by, you're going to get more in your begging, right? So I'm sure he saw other religious people at that time, other people, other crowds, other hubbub. But there was something different about this one. There's something different about this crowd. And he inquired and he said, what's going on? And he didn't have his head buried in the sand. And the same is true of us. I'm not saying we need to be, I don't like to watch the news, but I try to keep abreast of some of the news so we can watch the spiritual significance that's going on in the Middle East. And then when it turns into the whole negative smear campaign, I usually turn it off. Or I watch the weather. You know, and then that's enough. But I can't expect to know what's going on without somehow looking around me, seeing what's going on, reading an article about this or that that has maybe some spiritual significance. We can't expect to sit on our hands and then when something happens or we miss maybe something that the Lord is doing in the earth or in the city, we'll just be like, well, what? I didn't know that was going on. Well, you need to be involved. Maybe run. Joan Van Dyke, she ran for city council. There's many of us here that I do know that are involved in on boards and things like that. But I just want to, all the more, to not get distracted by the things of the world. He was the blind man.
he was like, what is that? There's a difference there. What's going on? Amen. So I think we should, that's just one small aspect. Where was I? He was inquisitive. He asked. He didn't sit idly by. We shouldn't do the same either. And what does he say? I'm going to read the... He asked, what was happening? They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I'm going to get to that. Can we go to the next verse? He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, in just that one statement, because he knows that the Jewish people knew that the Messiah was going to come in the line of David. He's basically saying, I know you are the Son of God. I know you are the Messiah. I know you are the one that we've been expecting through the line of David. And just in that statement, he's saying, he's familiar with Scripture. And he's not saying good teacher. He's saying the best teacher. He's not saying you're just some other religious figure. You are the figure. You're not just some other Lord. You're the Lord of Lords. You're not some other king passing by. You're the King of Kings. He gave him the title that he was deserving, and he was familiar with it because he, although he was blind and he was poor, he knew Scripture. And I'll tell you, that's something that is so important, and we're just going to harp on it here at the River Church. Read your Bibles. You're going to be able to see Jesus day to day, see what he's doing in the earth, what he's doing in your families, what he's doing all around you, because you got to know him. You got to know his character. You got to know what it says in here. So that you can notice, it's like, so you can realize that it's better to give a kind answer at work and turn away that wrathful coworker. Maybe you're just going to know to speak words of kindness and love when they don't deserve it. And that comes from, by reading this. And it just shows that he knows all there is to know about Jesus and gives him the title that he is so deserving because he's familiar with Scripture. There is never a lack of not knowing the Word. You're never going to get to the end of your life and go, oh, I wish I didn't read my Bible. Okay? So read the Word. It's something we're going to just, I bet you it's in every message that we give here at the River. It's read the Word. Because it's reflected in Scripture to read the Word. Amen. Okay. I got to catch up with my notes. Here we go. So then it says, he called out, oh, go back, I'm sorry. Stay right there. He called out Jesus, Son of Nazareth, and then it says, those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. And I just see that and I go, the leaders said be quiet. And it just speaks to me. It says to me that the things that are leading in your life, if they tell you to be quiet and not put the importance of the spiritual things, then they shouldn't be leading your life. They can be in your life, hobbies, recreation, fun things like that. But if they say, no, Jesus isn't that important. No, church isn't important. Spiritual things aren't important. Then you need to reconsider and realign those types of things that are in your life. They don't need to be eliminated. I'm not saying that we need to just sit at home with an Afghan over our lap reading our Bibles and just hoping that Jesus will show up. We've been blessed with tons of things, hobbies, recreations. I love to do, everybody loves to have something to do. But if it's more important to cut your grass this morning than come here, then I don't think your grass should be leading your life. I went and picked Noah up this morning and came back, and there were like six people out mowing their grass. And I'm like, man, it is cool. This morning was a lot cooler than it's going to be this afternoon. And that's just one example. But my lawn isn't more important than
being with you guys here today, especially because I was given the message. But but I hate missing church. And there's been times where things have come up where we've been traveling and back and forth with South Dakota or whatever, and we miss church, and it's like missing a part of my week, the most important part of my week. So I just want to challenge you. You're not hearing the Lord. Get involved. Put him first. Make it to Monday night prayer once a month. Make it to Tuesday worship. Make it to the meet and eat. Because connection, guys, is wonderful. I love this place. I mean, I see so many familiar faces that it's like strange to not see. It's strange to not recognize someone, and that's good. So if I haven't met you, come and say hi. Because this place is wonderful. And we love the Lord here, and we want to just promote connection. But if there's something in your life, another example, we were thinking about Olivia trying to get her into trap. Yeah, shooting a gun. Yes, that's what I want my daughters doing, right? But a lot of their meetings, a lot of their shoots were Sunday. It's like, nope, can't do it. I'm not going to do that. And that seems to be the cultural thing now. It's like, oh, if we need to squeeze something in, we'll just put it on Sunday. Or if we need to get this activity for school, we'll just squeeze it in on Sunday. And we need to change that. We need to speak the importance of Sunday to promote that. There are guys that I work with that have invited me to things, and they're like, Sunday, we're going to go this. And I'm like, no, I can't go, and I got church. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, I got to go see the God who gives me life first before I go and hang out with you guys. It's not that you guys aren't important, and I don't want to not make relationship with you, but God's first. So make sure the leader of your life is the leader. Make sure the Lord is the leader of your life. Wow, I took up all these pages. Okay, this is great. Anyway, amen to that. So did the blind man give up? No, he got louder. He had an obstacle in his way. He got louder. You tell me to be quiet about the Lord, I'm only going to get louder. Somebody tries to restrain your enthusiasm and speak about the goodness of God, and they tell you to hush down, you just get louder. Because that's what the devil just wants, to minimize Jesus. And we want to exalt Jesus. If I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me if I be lifted up. And that's what we want. We want men to mankind, we want them drawn to Jesus. So let's lift him up. So don't let the world or society try to downplay Jesus. That's just an obstacle. Like Ray was talking about earlier, it's just a challenge and a testing that we need to overcome to get the blessing of God. So when the world gets in the way, overcome the world. You're overcomers. It says so right in here. See, it just makes sense. It's not by sitting and being passive and lazy, is by being aggressive and going after Christ. So he gets Jesus' attention, and Jesus has the very people trying to stifle him bring him to him. And God can use the very thing that's an obstacle in your way, he can use that to bring you closer to him. Amen? That's my eyesight was that thing. I had this eyesight problem, and I thought that was the obstacle getting in my way for my future career and this and that and the other thing, when it was the very thing that was the greatest thing that led me to Christ. But it's perspective on that. I wasn't really happy at that time about losing some of my eyesight. I'm still not happy, but I'd rather have the spiritual sight rather than the physical, earthly sight that's going to be temporal. I want the long-lasting spiritual sight that lasts forever, of the things that last forever, not the stuff that's temporal. So I just say that if there's something in your life that seems insurmountable, can't overcome it, I just want to say that if you press into Christ, watch him. He can make that
very thing be the thing that draws you to him and gets you actually closer. Because the word says that, I'm having a dummy attack. All things work together for those that love the Lord. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord. And those challenges can and will, if we focus our love on Christ, will draw us closer to him. Amen? So the face-to-face, Jesus asks, what does he ask? He says, what can I do for you? Here he is, the Most High God. The creator of the heavens and earth, the ancient of days, the one who we should be at his feet worshiping, asks, what can I do for you? Man, what a humble, perfect, how would your hearts not be just softened at that? Here, who is on his way up to Jerusalem to be killed, tortured, suffer for us. Before I do that, what can I do for you? That's an example of how we're to live our lives. To what can I do for you? What can we do for one another? How can I take the time, out of my day to help you? What an example. So slow down with our busy lives, because the world wants us to be busy, and we're so busy, and 7 days a week, and busy. Slow down and say, what can I do for you, spouse, children? Children, what can I do for you, mom, dad, before you're gone? What can I do for you, Pastor Steve? Joan. When I'm at work at the police department, every day, come back from lunch, 1 o'clock, the chief's in the office, I walk in and say, how are you, Andy? Is there anything you need done for me today? Because he hasn't seen me by this time. This is the first I see him. Every day, clockwork, is there anything I can do for you? Do you need something? Because he, you know, his place of authority, I want to honor that. I want to live a life that honors authority and says, what can I do for you? Because you will short circuit people and they'll go, what's up? And they're going, what's different about you? And it's like, oh, Jesus, you died on the cross and saved my life. So I just want to give my life away to help you so you can see Jesus, so you can be saved and end up in heaven too. Right? That's it. That's the end game. I want heaven more populated because of doing something that people aren't used to seeing. Because in this day and age, it's me, grab all I can get now before I go. And we should be, I want to give away all I can because I can't take it with me. My favorite movie, It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey looks at the sign of his dad and he says, all that you can take with you is that which you give away. Makes me cry every time I watch that movie. Do I have things that I enjoy? Yes. But I want to give away the important things. The things of friendship, loyalty, showing others that they're important, that they matter, that they're not too busy. That's what Jesus does. He doesn't just overstep the blind guy. I got things to do. He says, stop. And he speaks to him. He says, what can I do for you? Super humility. God asking that is just crushes me every time. What does he say? He says, I want my sight. He doesn't say, I want all my financial problems fixed. I want lots of money. He says, I want to see. And I think that's, looking at that as spiritual eyes, I say that's, I want to see the spiritual stuff. I want to see the eternal things. I don't want to see the temporal, because the Bible says you can only serve one master, God or money, God or mammon. This guy didn't want to serve mammon. He wanted to serve the Lord. I want to see you. I want to follow you. Well, we're going to see that he's going to follow him in a minute. Right after he hits him and just goes, bang, have your sight. Your faith has healed you. What? Your faith? Your faith has healed you? Next verse. Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. I believe there's a meeting that God doesn't just invade and overtake and overpower and just fix all your problems. I think that there's some effort on our part. The blind man made the effort. He listened when he couldn't see. He was told to shut up and he spoke louder. There's obstacles in your way. Nothing comes, there's no free lunch. But yeah, God sometimes will come in and just heal you and do a miracle. Sure, I'm not saying that. This isn't an all or nothing thing. I'm just saying make the effort. That was what I wanted to title the message. Make the effort to get there. You want to be closer to the Lord? Make the effort. Put in the work. Believe me, you won't regret working for it. I don't think this guy regretted anything. He didn't go, oh, man, that was it. I had to do all of that just so I could have my eyes repaired. He didn't do that. And I don't think we'll do that anymore. I don't think we'd be like that. Man, I wish I wouldn't have worked hard or sweated a little bit or overcame that or stepped over this challenge. No, I don't think that's the case. When the Lord changes your life dramatically and radically, you're not going to go, oh, I wish I would have had to do less. Amen? And what does he say? Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. You have a face-to-face with Jesus, it'll immediately change your life. There should be some things that are immediate. I understand that salvation, when I gave my life to Christ, I'm still walking a sanctification walk, but immediately that night I changed. March 19th, 1998, gave my life to the Lord. Things left my life that were not important anymore, and I knew they had to change, and there is some immediate change. There's immediate following. There should be an immediate draw. There should be something that's immediate and intense and will stir you to make changes that are immediate. I'm not saying the whole thing. I'm just saying that there is, and that shows it, that there's immediate change. He stopped, he followed. He stopped and he followed Jesus, praising God. You know what he did? He didn't go back to sitting down and begging again. Hey, now I can see you coming. Now I can see you coming. Hey, I see that you got a big wallet and big, you know, big money bags carrying. And no, he didn't went back to sitting. He followed Christ. You get changed. You have a one-on-one. You get born again. Follow Jesus. It isn't like, thanks, Jesus. Got that solved. Thanks. Really cleared that up. I got it from here. I'll be back in church a couple weeks from now or 6 months from now, or I'll see you when I need something else. It isn't a quick, we live on this quick trip, drive-through lane, quick, get what I want, and then I'm done, and dispose of it, and then move to the next thing mentality. And when you follow after Jesus, it should be following after Jesus, because there's no other flavor. The sitting down is just going to be dull and boring, and it's not going to satisfy. Follow Jesus. Follow him where he's going, because he knew he was rich now. Blind guy was rich now. He could see and he got rich. He got both. He didn't just get the sight. He got the rich. He got the richness of being with Jesus. He got eternal riches, and he picked sight. It's like, you have chosen wisely. It's like, he chose poorly. You know, a little movie reference there if you're old enough. The big moments. I think that's what we gotta remember. We want the face-to-face, the big moments, the salvations. I think that it just shows that we have a part to play. I already spoke about that. Let's go to the next page. I'm getting ahead of myself, or behind on myself here. You notice earlier in the chapter, I thought, just as a side note here, talking about this guy overcoming and not being hindered by the leaders and not being hindered by his sight. Earlier in the chapter, the beginning of chapter 18, it talks about the persistent widow and her persistence of overcoming and just keep coming and just keep coming and be relentless. And then it talks about the rich man later in 18, just before here, a couple verses, 17 verses before here, talks about how impossible it is for a rich man to give up all he has to get to heaven. And then this guy exemplifies it. In this account, it exemplifies those two things. It shows the persistence, the overcoming, the relentless. And then it shows that the rich man, he chose his wealth here and didn't follow Jesus. He turned from Jesus. But the guy who was poor, he's really the rich guy. So I just think that's important, that Scripture shows that. And that's an important thing, is to overcome. And we'll be rewarded with that. We'll be rewarded with a face-to-face and see Jesus for our efforts. And others praised God, it says. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. It's infectious. When you praise the Lord and follow after Christ and put Him first, you're infectious, for in a good way. Not like, ooh, you got the flu, stay away. But it should be infectious. It should show others, and other people should see that and go, man, I want what Ryan's got, because he's walking around with joy. I want what Jordan's got. And all of you that know the Lord should be infectious, and they should be like hungering for what you have, and it should cause that hunger. And then they're going to start to praise God, because look what He's done in Ryan's life and Jordan's life. Amen. But I want to end with this. I want to go back to early on. It says Jesus is passing by. They told Him, I think it's verse 37. They told Him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And I want to end on this. Is that, and this is where I want to give a chance, if you haven't met the Lord, and I want to remind you that here on earth, there's only a short time before the Lord has passed by. You don't know when your last day is. If you've had, and I can remember all the times before I gave my life to the Lord, I can remember looking back, oh, there was Jesus, and I didn't engage. I didn't respond. I was nervous. I didn't know what this was all about. He was passing by. And I'll tell you, from the time you're born to the time that you take your last breath, that's the time where Jesus is going to be passing by. And after that, there is no more time to give your life over to Him. So I want to just, if there's somebody up here, when there's people up here praying, if you've never given your life to Christ, give your life to Christ before your opportunity passes by. There was Thursday, Kay lost an aunt. Friday, Kay lost an uncle. Friday, we had a tragedy of somebody here in the church. Son lost his life on a motorcycle accident. I don't know anything, but I just know that that's the time where Jesus has passed by the chance, if they haven't already given their lives to Christ. And I don't want that to happen to anybody in this room that hasn't given their life to Christ. Because that's the end game, is face-to-face on the other side of this life. That's where I'm looking forward to, the face-to-face, as on the other side of this life. Sure, do I want to see Him now? Do I want to see Him daily? Do I want to watch Him work and heal and give me sight? Yes. But the most important thing is, don't let Jesus pass you by. Because He is the King of Kings. He's not a high, He's the Most High. He is the one who is only capable of saving our souls if we put our faith in Him. And there should be evidence. Once you give your life to Christ, there will be evidence, immediate change, and recognizing that things might have to change and let God clean you up. But don't think you got to be cleaned up before you see Jesus, because the blind guy wasn't all cleaned up and perfect before he met Jesus. And I'm talking spiritual here. So I just pray that this would challenge you this week. I pray that you would seek the Lord. Do the work. Those of you that are hungry for the Lord, keep working. Overcome those challenges and those things that want to say, don't come to church or don't make Monday night prayer or I'm tired. Because it's worth it. So I just pray that if you want to speak to anybody, I'll be here. There'll be somebody up here praying. I don't know if it's me. It's Bruce and him. So Lord, we just thank you. I want to close here. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for this weekend. God, we just pray that this time would be a wonderful weekend of reflection and enjoyment and fellowship. God, but we pray that each day that we would overcome the challenges in our lives because we want to see you face to face. God, and if there's anyone here right now that hasn't given their life to Christ, God, I pray that they would just seek you out. God, that they would seek someone to help them, to lead them, to guide them into salvation for eternal life. God, I just pray you'd bless the rest of this weekend and our week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.